you're very welcome, and I don't know whether for you the weekend is proving a little lull in the busyness or whether it's just made it more frantic, but whatever condition you are in at the moment, you're very welcome here. And afterwards there'll be a cup of tea, so do come to stay and carry on the conversation with us, won't you? Good to have you. Kia ora tātou. Let us pray. As we come on this fourth Sunday of Advent, we celebrate love. Love that shows in many different ways. Love that comes when we least expect it. Love that we didn't even know we were showing, and love that we did not expect to see. And so in this hour, we pray that we may be open to love, that hearts and minds and ears are open and listening and waiting, ready for love to surprise us yet again. So may it be. And we say the prayer together, the Jesus Prayer or the Lord's Prayer, which is on the laminated card in your order of service. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings. Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Every Sunday we light a rainbow candle, which hasn't made it onto the table because our candle, rainbow candle putter outerer, is out of town already for Christmas. So how about you talk amongst yourselves? I'll go and get the candle and then we can light it. Here we go. I found it, and what's more, someone's tidied the candle cupboard for Christmas. Isn't that lovely? Now, we need someone to light the rainbow candle. Yes, I thought you might know how to do it. It's Sol, isn't it? Pardon? Solomon, that's right. Do you like it long? You like the long version? Do you, of your name? Yeah, okay, let's get on with lighting. So the rainbow is to show that everyone's included, including children. Excellent. Good work. Well done. Okay. Come and sit down the front. I've got some stories. We'll go down here. Anyone else want to join us? So I bought three books so that you could choose. I've got a little collection of Christmas stories. And let's see which one you want to hear today. And some of you might have heard some of them. There's this one, The Christmas Story. That's an interesting title, isn't it? There's Jesus' Christmas Party, and there's The Christmas Caravan. Middle one? It's quite a cool one, isn't it? Okay, Jesus' Christmas Party. Let's see what happens. There was nothing the innkeeper liked more than a good night's sleep. But that night there was a knock at the door. Can anyone do the knock? Okay, good. No room, said the innkeeper, but we've been travelling all through night and day. There's only the stable round the back. Here's two blankets, sign the register. So they signed. What do you think their names were? Mary and Joseph, that's right. Then he shut the door, climbed the stairs, got into bed and went to sleep. But then later there was another knock. Another knock? Need another knock? Good. Excuse me, I wonder if you could lend us another smaller blanket. Why would they need that? Oh, for the baby. There, one smaller blanket, said the innkeeper. Then he shut the door, climbed the stairs, got into bed and went to sleep. But then a bright light woke him up. "That's all I need," said the innkeeper. Then he shut the door, climbed the stairs, drew the curtains, got into bed and went to sleep. But then there was another knock at the door. "We are three shepherds." "Well, what's the matter? Lost your sheep?" He's not getting very, you know, he's getting a bit tired by the stage. "We've come to see Mary and Joseph." "Round the back," said the innkeeper. It's written in capital, so he's getting mad. Then he shut the door, climbed the stairs, got into bed and went to sleep. Then there was another knock at the door. Your poor old dad's going to get bruised. "We are three kings. We have come round the back." He didn't even let them finish. Look how shocked they are. Then he slammed the door, climbed the stairs, got into bed and went to sleep. See the little black cloud above his head? He's really mad now. But then a chorus of singing woke him up. "Right, that does it." So he got out of bed, stomped down the stairs, threw open the door, went round the back, stormed into the stable and just about to speak when, "Shh," whispered everyone, "you'll wake the baby." There they go. See? They're all there, all those people that knocked on the door. "Baby," said the innkeeper. "Yes, a baby has this night been born." "Oh," said the innkeeper, looking crossly into the manger. And just at that moment, suddenly, amazingly, his anger seemed to fly away. "Oh," said the innkeeper, "isn't he lovely?" In fact, he thought he was so special, he woke up all the guests in the inn so that they could come and have a look at the baby too. I don't think they're very pleased. See, they've got the whole black clouds above their heads. So no one got much sleep that night. The end. Now, there's something missing from up the front. Have a look.
The cradle.
The cradle, yep. And so if the cradle's missing, then we're missing the baby. That's right. And do you know why? Because the baby hasn't been born yet, has it? Ah, we're saving the baby till Christmas Eve. So it's very good that you're here. And we've got here some Christmas colouring in, if you want to do it. And I thought that star looked pretty good. And you could get lots of colours in there. And if you took it home, you could cut it out, put it on cardboard, put a hole at the top and hang it on your tree, or put it on the fridge or something like that. And there's some pictures there too of which do have the baby in them, and there's a couple of types of those. So up the back there's some felt pens on the toy cupboard up there. If I give them that to you, you'll share them with everybody else, and we hope that you have a nice time being here with us today. Okay, thanks. How about you stand up in a circle while we bless you? Come on. No, no, we're not going out there today. We're around here today. So, so you can be here with us, with your families, doing things with them or playing with toys or books or colouring in. There's a lot of stuff to do. Then we all say, we bless you. Amen. And we will pass the peace.
And the reading this morning from the Hebrew Bible is from Micah chapter 5, verses 2 to 5a. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. Therefore, Israel will be abandoned until the time when she who is in labor bears a son, and the rest of his brothers return to join the Israelites. He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they will live securely, for then his greatness will reach the ends of the earth. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. We will raise against them 7 shepherds, even 8 commanders. The Gospel reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. Mary visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got readied and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of the Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And the contemporary reading is by Joy Cowley, Virgin Birth. We have within us a virgin place, a holy space which belongs to God alone. We know it by its hunger, we name it by its need. The space will not be touched by the people we love, or the things we gather, or the positions we hold. We have within us a growing place, an eternal space that exists for truth, where the love of God overcomes us, where the life of God fills us. The Emmanuel space, where we conceive and become pregnant of the Holy One, and day by day give birth to Christ in the world. For the word in Scripture, for the word among us, for the word within us, we give thanks.
This Sunday is the fourth Sunday of Advent, so we light the fourth candle, which is for love. And in your order of service, there is a piece of information there about DCM, which is the place to which all our food bank donations go each week. Someone just said the other day that when we talk about please give to DCM, no one says very often what DCM stands for. I think DCM have chosen to be DCM a little like KFC has chosen to be KFC. They want to be known by the acronym. But on your order of service, I think just over the page from where we are at the moment, there's some information about what they do and the chance to donate a welcome pack for someone who's they have found a home for and is moving into a new home, and their bank account is there as well. So that's there for your information. They show love, and sometimes it's tough love to those who are on the streets. Let us pray. May love be ours. May love be yours. May love be mine. Amen. The two scriptures today are based in small places. Bethlehem, at the time, was a small space within the larger space of Israel, and Israel is a smaller space within the larger space of the Middle East. And it's certainly all very small compared with the mighty Assyrian Empire mentioned in the reading, which did indeed swallow Israel up and hold it under its control for many years. When you were a child at school, did you used to write in your exercise book, Fred Smith, 12 Acorn Place, High Tai Tai, Wellington, New Zealand, South Pacific, the Earth, the Solar System, and you finally finished up with the universe? And I wasn't quite sure whether it left me feeling very, very tiny in this big universe, or that it connected me to something big and significant. Maybe we all had a different experience. Bethlehem is a little like that. A tiny town, not particularly important, not a capital city, not on the trade routes, just small town, Middle East. And Mary, when she finds she's pregnant, goes to an equally small hilltop town to see her cousin Elizabeth. The writer's chosen Elizabeth as a dialogue partner to hear Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat, recited weekly at least in liturgical churches. We did not hear that song read today, but we do hear Elizabeth's recognition of the moment. Her extrasensory perception fits into this mystical story that elevates the small and the quiet, the lost and the least, the weak and the waiting. Love where you least expect it. And Joy Cowley's poem picks up something of that paradox, that we, many of us who are not virgins in the usual sense, nevertheless have a place often tucked away inside us, difficult to find and easy to hide, a virgin space. A space not one of purest shrinking violet quality, but one of readiness and fecundity, creativity, and yes, again, where you might not associate it, waiting love. We crash and bash about our world a bit these days. Cars and even sometimes Wellington regional buses get us there more quickly than walking or riding a donkey. Although it took me 2 hours to get from Seatoon to Broadmeadows on Thursday. In another part of the country, I could have gone from Gore to Dunedin in that time. Cell phones reach us wherever we are, even in a hilltop town. And thanks to social media, we can always find a receptive audience, whether or not we might regret later telling Facebook all that stuff about ourselves. But Mary goes to Elizabeth to ponder this change for her in quietness, where her great news will receive a sympathetic and empathetic reaction. Love where you most expect it. As I wrote this reflection, the church was bustling with guests for a wedding. We were trying to pack up for the year. Letitia was trying to record the phone message and kept on getting interrupted by the noise of guests and a choir practicing. Love where you least expect it. One of the distinguishing features of the scriptures is that love and sometimes power get handed to the most unexpected people. It begins with the noisy, smelly shepherds who were on the bottom rung of Middle Eastern society at the time. And it continues with Jesus picking a tax collector and a bunch of fishermen as his band of disciples. It includes lepers, a woman caught in adultery, no one tells us about the man caught in adultery, a widow with her last small coin, and ends with a criminal death. Love is shown and given, preached and taught to those whom and where you would least expect it. Underlying all these stories, ones like the Christmas story that tug at your heartstrings, and the ones like the crucifixion from which we turn in horror, is this message that love is for everyone, even when you least expect it. You might be a little tired, you might be little, you might be depressed or lonely, out of step with the rest of the world, different in your beliefs, crazy, grumpy, or just straight boring in your own opinion. But the love that we celebrate this fourth Sunday of Advent is for you too. And any person or institution, and particularly any church, which has ever suggested that for some reason you are outside the pale, beyond redemption or hopeless in any way, is wrong. Love is for all, whatever the circumstances, even when your cell phone is going off in the middle of the reflection. So this year, whatever you did or didn't do, whatever you said or didn't say, whatever you thought or didn't think, whoever you are or whoever you are not, it is still true that you are loved. And love will continue to be found where you might least expect it. That's what unconditional means. So there's really nothing more to say. A space of quiet. So may it be. Amen. Our offering for the work here and beyond and for the food bank will be received. Our offering prayer is going to be the carol that's written next in your order of service, and Bruce has been cunningly playing it during the offering to remind you of the tune. So we'll get him to play that tune again through once, and then we'll start with the first verse. Thank you. I think we sang that, did we sing it last year, Vivian? Where's Vivian? Did we sing it last year?
Last week.
There's another one that was of yours that's going to pop up that we sang 2 years ago, and I was wondering if we'd remember it, but well done, you remembered that one. Life in the community, well, to maybe to some of your relief, the list of notices about things that are on is getting shorter as we move towards Christmas, but there are some interesting things in there. The pastoral cover will be done, I don't know what the verb is, by Norman up till January 21st, and then Jim and Ken are available from then on till I get back, which I'm very grateful for. And Cuppa and Chat is briefly taking a holiday on Boxing Day, and then it's back into its routine on the first Wednesday in January. Anyone else got notices for people? Yep.
I'm Ken Irwin, a member of this faith community. I've got a riveting 8-year-old memory of Christmas. When I was 8 years of old in our little wee village church, at exactly this time of the year, one service, one day, one of those Sundays in Advent, a gentleman turned up at church for the first time. He could be politely called down and out. And as the offering basket went around the church, it was his first time at church, and he took some notes out because he assumed that this was a giving time. There was not a word of laughter. It seemed so right to an 8-year-old, and I've never forgotten it. I wanted to pass it on. The other quick thing I wanted to pass on to you, you may notice at the banners that have been beautifully constructed in the bottom corner, the pohutukawa. The Maori word pohutu is the word for geyser, flourish, gush, splash. And a little while ago, I fashioned what I call the pohutukawa blessing, incorporating the Advent features as well. And it goes like this. May the splash of rangi Māori peace and the blossom of tūmanako hope and the warmth of arahanui love cradle you. Amine. And this is a basket for you to take out of. If you'd like a copy of this, it's at the back of the church afterwards. Thank you.
Just to organise your giving, just a warning that there is no offering on Christmas Day. So today and Christmas Eve are your last opportunities to give to the Christmas appeal for CWS, or you can send it in directly yourself. There's some information about that at the back of the order of service. This might be the carol I was thinking about that we sang 2 years ago. Let's see how we go with this one.
Oh,
prayers of the people. On this, the fourth Sunday of Advent, we add love to the earlier themes of peace and hope and joy. From Paul of Tarsus to Charles Dickens, love has triumphed. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous, is not pompous, is not inflated, and is not rude. It seeks not its own interests, is not quick-tempered, does not rejoice over wrongdoing, but rejoices in truth. There remain faith, hope, love, and the greatest of these is love. Exactly 175 years ago, the first edition of Dickens' A Christmas Carol was selling fast, with all copies sold out by Christmas Eve. Dickens made the miser Scrooge find new life as a charitable donor, a fairer employer, and reconciles him with his family. There remain faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. For today, nobody has prepared a prayer in our book, so we will move right on to our circle of prayer. We think today of the people of Kuwait and all those working to find solutions to the problems posed by oil production. In New Zealand, we remember those in Parliament, and today we name Andrew Falloon, Rangitata electorate, and Nathan Guy, Otaki electorate. Here in the Central Presbytery, we pray for the leaders and people of Oroa Presbyterian Parish in Fielding. And finally, we pray for our own church here in St Andrews. If you are visiting us today, please feel free to make this a prayer for your place as well as for ours. We say together, renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen.
Thank you.
who look for love but are abused, for those who have lost family and friends, for those who live where there is strife or war. We have lit the candle of love. We go out now to serve love in the world.